Welcome back to the second portion of season 2, episode 5 of The Grand Cast. I'm your host, Chris N., here this afternoon with Brandon Holstein on a rainy Sunday, the last Sunday of April, getting into some mini segments, a variety of games, kind of.
I'm okay with that.
A little lighter. So I like to start out with an update on the intern situation here. I had previously had an intern who quit. Bob. Not to name names. Well, explicitly to name names. Robert. I'm still without an intern. There's no real news on this front.
Would you say Bob was not great?
He did a good job right up until he quit.
So now he's not great.
Technically, his skills were well suited for the position. His attitude and long-term vision for his role were not
great.
Synchronous with mine. So...
not great, Bob. Not great.
And it's been hard to find a replacement. Apparently, when the weather gets nice, nobody wants to sit inside all day and work on a computer for basically no real compensation. Go figure.
Today would be a great day for an intern, with it not being great outside.
Yeah. Maybe that's... you think people in like Portland are more productive because of the rain?
You could find out. Just put a... APB for any Portland-based interns.
I wonder if we could do some sort of telepresence. One of those, like, Ed Snowden iPad Segway device things.
I mean, you have the resources. You can make it happen.
What do you think the latency on an internet connection out to Portland is like these days?
Oh, they've got it down to, like, probably 4 or 5 megablips.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, in the realm of megablips, it's not that bad.
Huh. All right. I'll check into that. First segment. After that, I guess that would make it the second segment.
That was more of a prelude? Precursor?
Well, generally a non-interactive segment, but
I'll stop
that
talking.
Got a little interactive, so I'm going to count it. So that was the first segment. This is the second segment, entitled Improv Scene Suggestions. So I have a list of prompts here. If you could please give me a suggestion for a hypothetical improv scene that was about to occur. So if you could give me a location...
You're asking me for prompts.
As if I were on a stage at an improv show. Gotcha.
A location. All right. The deck of a pirate ship.
I like that. Because like I go to a lot of improv shows, and they're always asking for suggestions, yes. And I don't always have good ones. So I'm kind of picking the brain of improvisers to see what suggestions they would like to receive.
To get a better set of improvised suggestions off the top of your head.
Yes.
Yes. That's improv.
Yes, because I want to be a better audience member.
Admirable.
A location that would fit on the stage at Dog Story Theater.
Oh, the basement of a Planned Parenthood clinic.
Ooh.
What do you think goes on there? It's just a basement.
Is it?
My improv scene, that's just a basement.
Yes, it depends on the literature that you use to inform yourself. A noun.
A noun? Parrot.
Parrot?
Parrot.
Parent?
Parrot.
Like a pirate parrot?
Like bagawk. Wait, that's a chicken. Like probably want a cracker.
Parrot. Okay. A verb.
A verb? Spinning?
Spinning. An occupation.
Transcendentalist.
Is that a big market?
It's a niche market, but I figure if you're an expert, you'll find your customers will find you.
Probably lucrative.
Depending on your degree of skill as a transcendentalist, you basically have to be really good at transcendentaling.
Transcendentalization?
That's the act of transcendentaling.
A letter of the alphabet.
Oh, Q?
A relationship between two people.
Garbage spiller and garbage picker upper.
A word, any word.
Nancy pants.
That was two words. Or is it hyphenated?
It's hyphenated.
Okay. Thank you. The last thing you paid money for.
Last thing I paid money for. I paid money for a beer.
What kind of beer?
Wheat beer.
Weed beer?
Wheat.
Oh, wheat.
Wheat.
Wheat beer.
I'll have to enunciate more. Yes,
was it an Oberon?
It was a Namaste.
Namaste.
Yeah.
That I really enjoy the sentiment of Namaste.
Of like, the action of Namaste or the sentiment of the Namaste beer?
The word, like the original word. It's that the spirit in me recognizes the spirit in you.
Brilliant which sentiment. Which I find
very nice. There's a restaurant out in Kentwood. Well, I don't know if it's still a restaurant. I hope it's still a restaurant. I think it's called Namaste Kitchen.
Don't know it.
Nepalese food.
Whoa.
It's kind of like a fusion of Indian and like their own...
Nepal feel?
Nepal food. It's quite good.
Yeah. Isn't Timbuktu in Nepal?
The city of Timbuktu?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know what? We'll find out later.
And?
Audience, find out where Timbuktu is and find out if I'm confusing it with another city in Nepal. Thanks, audience.
Namaste wheat beer. Where's that from?
That's from Dogfish Head.
Dogfish Head.
Yeah. All right.
They got some really good...
They have a lot of quality beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a 60, 90, or 120 minute?
I'm a 90 guy.
90?
Yep. 60's too weak and the 120's too much.
Yep.
Too many flavors in my mouth.
Classic Goldilocks situation there.
Yes.
A genre of movie.
Genre of movie? We'll go with film noir.
That's a good one.
Yeah, see guy? Yeah.
Did you read Paul Brand's co-written novel, A Stark and Stormy Night?
Oh, I read most of it. Put you on the spot
again. Damn it.
Sorry, Paul. I got about halfway through and then got distracted by a Tom Stoppard play, which I also haven't finished.
I would recommend revisiting it. It was a very enjoyable spoof on the film noir genre.
Yes.
An emotion.
Pensive.
Ooh. Like Mike Pensive? Is that a meme yet? That should be a meme.
I'm not aware of this meme.
I wonder if he's ever made a thoughtful face in his life.
I wonder if he had a thought but was hesitant to share it ever.
The first line of dialogue.
First line of dialogue? So, these are the pants you decided to wear.
A page number.
13.
A place you might go on a first date.
You would go get an ice cream cone at the local Whippy Dip.
Whippy Dip?
Whippy Dip.
Hmm. They have good cones? Are you a sugar cone, waffle cone?
I love the waffle, but I understand the practical utility of a sugar cone.
What about those awful, like, white, crunchy, like... The ones with the flat bottoms. I don't even know what they're called.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
They're like styrofoam.
What?
They're just like white cones. Ice cream cones.
Was somebody out there saying to themselves, I need to make a crappier form of cone, and this is what they came up with?
They did. They're probably Puritans or something.
Damn Quakers. Big Cone probably had an influence in this one.
Yes. A place you might go on vacation.
A place I might go on vacation? Well, I go to the Redwood Forest.
Is that like Washington State?
The Redwood Forest is predominantly north of San Francisco, but also runs throughout all the way up into Oregon.
It's like Humboldt County area.
Oh, geez. Now, as a former geography major, I feel ashamed that I don't know this, but I don't know.
That's like, I think they call it the Golden Triangle. It's like where a lot of the marijuana is growing
in the area. Oh, I have heard little bits about this. Yes, I don't know.
Northern California.
Yeah. But NoCal has a lot of redwoods.
It would be interesting to see one of those IRL. Because you see pictures of how massive they are, but I feel like it doesn't really do it justice.
Yeah, I don't think it does. I think everyone's like, yeah, they're bigger than you think.
I wonder if seeing one of those in like a virtual reality environment would be satisfying.
Well, I'm sure Zelda's got them, right? The new Zelda's supposed to have all the places.
The Breath of the Wild?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if that has any VR support.
It does.
The Switch does?
Wait, no, it doesn't. No. I'm thinking of Resident Evil, which is completely different.
Yeah. Has their VR system. I haven't tried that yet. Have you done any VR?
I've done none. I heard Resident Evil was well executed.
I don't like horror stuff.
Except after a while, you are like, okay, that's cool. And then the game is just more fun to just play rather than do the VR.
I got to mess around with the HTC Vive a little bit.
That's the... I don't know what that is.
It's... I think they're partnered with Valve, Steam.
Yep.
And it's just... it's incredible. For a first generation product, it's extremely exciting.
Yeah, it's funny to me that we're coming back to virtual reality. I feel like this is a cycle we get in. Like every 5 years, virtual reality makes a comeback. I mean, it wasn't like Max Headroom in the 80s, like quasi virtual reality, and then the 90s we
Virtual Boy
did things like, yeah, and now the mid 2000s, now it's the 10s.
It's gotten way, way better. The technology is there because of smartphones that drove a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of the display, like the pixel density, and
it's not so polygonal as it was in the past. I guess the processing, because you're processing a frame at the speed of human eyes, so you've got to process.
I don't think it's quite, well, human eyes see what? It's like 24 frames per second.
Give or take. I think our pixel density is also 480. It's no more than 720. I know that 1080p is a density the human eye cannot... What did I read? It cannot perceive anything beyond like 720 or something like that. So, again, a rabbit hole in which I have very little actual facts to offer.
Definitely a cool technology to check out if you get the opportunity.
I will now. I'm putting it on the list of things to check out if I ever get the opportunity.
Yeah, I threw around the idea of maybe a virtual reality arcade being... I think there's one in Grand Haven, maybe.
Huh. But
I don't think anybody's doing it in Grand Rapids yet that I know of. Maybe it exists.
Maybe we'll take this out in post so we can have this. We can stay on top of this and no listeners will take this fantastic idea.
Yeah, there's some nice open storefronts over on Wealthy by the Winchester.
And now you're giving away all the prime real estate. Jeez, Chris, anything else you want to share with everyone about this multi-million dollar scheme we could have hatched?
Not right now.
That was a dramatic pause.
An animal, please.
Bear.
Something that would fit in your pocket.
A figurine of Polly Poppin' Stuff.
Who?
Polly Poppin' Stuff.
The Care Bear?
I think. I don't know. That's just the words that came into my head at that exact moment.
I don't know if that's a Care Bear, but it sounds like it should be.
I think I combined maybe four or five different child memories.
H.R. Huffenpuff.
H.R. Puffinstuff. And then...
Which was...
A dragon for marshmallows? No.
I think it's a vague reference to smoking weed also. Puffinstuff.
Oh, yeah. But no, Puffinstuff was from a kid's TV show. H&R Puffinstuff was an actual character from a kid's TV show. And then Polly Pockets.
Polly Pockets. That was a little tiny, like a little play set of
there you go.
Characters.
And apparently I have an imaginary small figurine of all of these things smashed together in my pocket.
That would be pretty incredible. We'll have to contact Hasbro and get their best men on it.
Another million-dollar idea. We're going to be millionaires.
A color.
Color cyan.
That's a good one. The last thing you ate.
The last thing I ate was two eggs scrambled, two slices of bacon, and some toast.
White or wheat?
I would guess wheat.
Something you might get into an argument over.
Whether Polly Puffinstuff is a real thing, which I think we just decided wasn't.
It should be, though.
Wait, these are just gets, though. Something I might get in an argument over. Something you're going to get in an argument over whether or not you should change the oil on the mileage or on the date with someone for your car.
Isn't it whatever comes first?
Hey, man. It's an argument. There's a lot of people who go past both.
They do.
There's the argument.
I think the science is still out on that one. I mean, you have to take into consideration how much of the knowledge, quote unquote knowledge, is just propaganda from big oil.
I've often wondered this, and I've heard from mechanics anecdotally that you can go pretty long after that and be okay. Big oil, don't come after me. I'm sorry. I don't, you know.
We're making a lot of enemies in this episode.
Yeah. A lot of lobbyists will be knocking down our doors later to find out what the F is going on.
I might suggest to them that certain contributions to super PACs that may or may not have any sort of relation to the Grand Cast could possibly alter the course of discussion that occurs.
There are ways to exert influence that are more subtle than others. Give us all your money, I think is what you're saying.
Not literally, but there's a lot of subtext which people might interpret as being that the content of the show is for sale, one might say.
We're not going to say for or against whether it is. Just if you happen to want to make a contribution, we're receptive to listening to that discussion.
Yeah.
All right.
Something you are scared of.
You are scared of a yellow submarine.
The title of a movie that hasn't been made yet.
Ding Dong Ditch.
I can't help but laugh at a joke about...
koalas?
I've always been lucky, but I never thought I'd be able to...
reach around and scratch my own back.
And that was improv scene suggestions. Thank you.
Man, you are going to be so good at the next suggestion thing if you use... half of that gold.
This next segment is called Read Me Song Lyrics. So I printed off, I believe, a pared down version of the song, if you wouldn't mind reading them in the style of spoken word poetry.
All right. There is no title.
The title is Hurt.
Hurt. I bring to you Hurt.
By Johnny Cash.
By Johnny Cash. And I'll just go all the way through.
Please.
Hurt by Johnny Cash. I hurt myself today. to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become, my sweetest friend? Everyone I know goes away in the end. You could have had it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become, my sweetest friend? Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all. My empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
Thank you. This next segment is called Famous Initials.
Oh, like HK or JK or HH?
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, I'm going to let you take control of this.
There's definitely a theme to what's about to happen.
All right.
So I'm going to give you a prompt, mm-hmm. and if you could try to answer or complete the prompt, please. Boba Fett is famous for being a
bounty hunter.
If you punch a rock, you will probably end up with a
broken hand.
One generally grips this while sweeping.
A broom handle.
A gigantic baby duckling cartoon character from the 1950s.
Is Bobby Hansen.
Baby Huey.
Baby Huey. Huh.
The third most read newspaper in the capital of Massachusetts.
Is the Boston Herald.
Correct. 2.5 times a popular downtown Grand Rapids country western bar.
2.5 times the... is, oh geez, about 100?
The back 100.
The back, ah, I was there. Damn it.
So close. An Islamic extremist group in Nigeria.
Bin Haman?
Boko Haram.
Boko Haram. Jeez. Bastards.
90210.
Is Beverly Hills.
Yes. Don't worry.
Be happy.
Yeah. This breed of dog was originally bred for the purpose of hunting hares.
A Basset Hound?
Yes. A style of glasses, a Weezer song.
Oh, crud. Style of glasses. A Weezer song. I only know one Weezer song. I know a lot, but I only know the title of one. Crap.
Oh.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Those are a style of glasses? I guess so.
It's like an extra thick.
Yeah.
Wayfair.
Hipster glasses.
Yes. A pejorative term for older women.
Binti hag?
Involving a color, I should have.
You're involving a color. A blue hen?
Blue hair.
Blue hair.
Yeah. Hackers with malicious intent.
Are attackers with malicious intent are... Oh, geez. They are... bloviated... Black Hats.
Yes. A cynical, dark comedian who rose to fame in the 90s and passed away too soon.
Oh, crap. This is going to bug me. This is Benny... No, it's not Benny Goodman. It's passed away too soon.
At a young age.
At a young age. I'm drawing a blank on this one.
Bill Hicks.
Bill Hicks. I would never would have gotten that.
It's a very talented, very, very salty, cynical.
All I could critical. Think of is the guy who passed away in the 90s. The younger guy.
Phil Hartman?
No, although he's hilarious. No, stand-up comedian. Kind of really just a depressing stand-up
Sam
comedian.
Sam Kinison?
No, this guy is just kind of... Oh, Amy Gassin's going to kill me because she told me it's her favorite comedian. I think she told me. Oh, crap.
Chris Farley?
No, it starts with an H.
H.
Well, we'll come back to it.
One of the longest-lived comedians of the 20th century, famous for USO shows and TV specials.
Is Bob Hope.
Yes. A Saturday Night Live comedian, actor in Superbad, writer.
Actor in Superbad, Saturday Night Live is Bill Hader.
Yes. An English comedian most famous for a show bearing his name. And I also have an audio clue for this one.
I know this one, but I'll let you do the audio clip. That's some good old... Yeah, love that. We could probably just do the whole rest of the show with this going.
Oh, all right.
Oh. That's Benny Hill.
That is Benny Hill. the son of Arlen's most passionate propane and propane accessories salesman.
Well, that's Bobby Hill.
It is. Being offended or getting bent out of shape because of something petty or stupid can be referred to as being...
Being offended or bent out of shape as... Oh, gosh, I'm going to probably hit myself when you tell me what this is.
It is being butt hurt.
Oh, God, butt hurt.
Ah, yes, also too young.
The sound you heard was me holding a screen up to Chris to let him know what the comedian was because slyly I Googled it during the conversation. It is Mitch Hedberg.
Yes.
Secretly influential to almost all comedians. I found out after the fact. He's not a BH. Unless he was a bitch. He could have been a bitch Hedberg.
Ooh. Too soon. This next segment is called Read Me NPR.
The whole thing?
Please.
All right.
I cut a lot out, too.
But oh, man.
I
all
enjoyed
right.
the content of the...
This is read it as...
In the style of... And it is actually from NPR.
All right. Well, here we go.
All things
Does this
considered.
Have a title, or is this also untitled?
I think the title's the first...
Okay. All right. Here we go. Dogs are doggos, an internet language built around love for the puppers. Some dogs are doggos, some are puppers, and others may even be pupperinos. There are corgos and clouds, fluffers and floofs, woofers and boofers. The chunky ones are thick, and the thin ones are long boys. When they stick out their tongues, they're doing a mlem, a blep, a blop. They bork, they boof. Once in a while, they do each other a frighten. And whether they're 10 out of 10 or 12 out of 10, they're all huckin' good boys and girls. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? If not, you're probably not fluent in Dogolingo, a language trend that's been gaining steam on the internet in the past few years. The language most often accompanies a picture or a video of a dog and is spread to all major forms of social media. It might even change the way we talk out loud to our beloved canines. Wow, this is pretty good stuff. Dogolingo, sometimes referred to as doggo speak, seems to be quite lexical. There are a lot of distinctive words that are used, says internet linguist Gretchen McCulloch. It's cutesier than others, too. Doggo, woofer, pupper, pupperino, fluffer. These have all got an extra suffix on the end to make them cuter. McCulloch also notes Dogolingo is uniquely heavy on onomatopoeias like bork, blep, mlem, and blop. Dogolingo's array of words is a hodgepodge of existing internet language. For example, the phrase, doing me a frighten, used to describe startled dogs, comes from an image posted in late 2015, according to knowyourmeme.com. In it, a tiny Rottweiler puppy shocks its parents with a flurry of borks. The parent replies, stop it, son, you are doing me a frighten. A blop is when a dog pokes his tongue out due to tiredness, forgetfulness, and it often is only a small portion of the tongue. A mlem is basically any time a dog is licking their chops or sticking their tongue out. Nelson isn't sure why exactly dogs are so genuinely heartwarming. Maybe they represent this sort of unconditional love that we strive for, he says. Or they just embody this innocent perfection that we can't really find in ourselves or immediately in other animals. Dogs in general are wholesome and uplifting, says dog spotting moderator Molly Bloomfield. Irrelevant of your political views, your gender, your socioeconomic status, everyone loves dogs, and dogs love everyone.
Thank you.
Well, that's dog lingo. Blop to blorp you.
Whoa.
If your woof woof isn't doing your blop blork, then...
It's a good thing this podcast is marked as explicit.
Hey, there's fluffers involved.
Yes. Yes, there are. This next segment is normally called Rapid Fire, but for today's episode, it's Rapid Fire Delivery.
Ooh, hey-o!
So I'm just going to go through these. You'll be presented with two options. If you could just rapid fire.
Sure.
Which one? All right. Red or blue?
Blue.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Yes or no?
Yes.
In or out?
In.
High or low?
High.
Black or white?
Black.
Up? Oh. UP or LP? I was like, why is this capitalized?
UP.
City or country?
City.
I wrote county instead of country. This copy is...
Oh, then I take county.
That's how it was written. Okay. I have to talk to whoever wrote this copy.
Who produces this crap?
Me.
Oh. It looks wonderful.
It took me a second to figure out how to do columns.
So I didn't have to do
two separate sheets.
Steep learning curve in the old Microsoft Office columns.
LibreOffice.
Ooh, so it look at you.
So it wasn't exactly where I was looking for it. Because I'm used to the Microsoft suite of Office products.
Little Linux guy going here.
Mm-hmm. This is Linux for the recording also. I like free and open source software anywhere I can.
Boom, boom.
Continuing. Reading or writing?
Reading.
Hot dogs or hamburgers?
Hot dogs.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Light or dark?
Dark.
North or south?
North.
East or west?
West.
Talk or listen?
Talk.
Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
Pain or pleasure?
Pleasure.
Rain or sun?
Sun.
Sun or moon?
Sun.
Ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup.
That sounded like there's an asterisk.
I use a lot of mustard and not a lot of ketchup, and I found it ironic as I made the choice. As it started to go into my mouth, I was like, I can't believe I'm saying ketchup.
Wood or carpet?
I'm gonna go with carpet, but it better be nice.
Fruit or veg?
Fruit.
Innie or outie?
Innie.
Earth or water?
Water.
Day or night?
Day.
Sitting or standing?
Sitting.
Hands or feet?
Hands.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Wet or dry?
Dry.
Crunchy or soft?
Ooh. Soft.
Simpsons or South Park?
South Park.
Creamy or crunchy?
Creamy.
Up or down?
Up.
Left or right?
Left.
On or off?
Off.
Dead or alive?
Alive.
Good or evil?
Good.
Chaos or order?
Order.
Empty or full?
Full.
Solid or liquid?
Solid.
Friends or enemies?
Friends.
War or peace?
Peace.
Fire or water?
Fire.
Inside or outside?
Outside.
That was rapid fire delivery.
Oh, man.
Our next segment is called Real Talk. So, what do you think of the show so far?
I think it's pretty good. Yeah. Enjoying it. I feel like we're having a conversation. I guess it's the audience's opinion that really matters, but
specifically Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. If Josh gives me the thumbs up emoji at some point in the next 24 hours related to this, I'll be okay, you know?
I haven't started giving him the audio ahead of time.
Oh, God.
Even though he's requested it. Otherwise, he won't listen to it until Sunday.
Next Sunday, if I get a thumbs up emoji from Josh, job well done.
Sometimes it's the Monday after.
Oh, crap.
Depending on his schedule.
Okay, but Monday.
I would say in May.
In May, if I get a thumbs up podcast emoji from Josh, I think we're doing pretty good.
That's the dream. What do you think of the format of the show?
I think it's good. I like the I like getting into stuff. The rapid fire. I like the mixing things up with different pieces. Yeah, I think it's good.
What have you been up to lately?
Oh, geez. I'm going on a backpacking trip, so I'm trying to get ready for that because it's going to be pretty physically strenuous. So I've been trying to just wear a heavy backpack and my hiking boots whenever I go for like walks. So try to, you know, keep the old exercise thing at least in some type of existence. I mean, I don't have like a yoga mat just on my floor all the time. Waiting for things to happen. But I try to stay reasonably active.
You do walk a lot.
I do try to walk. That's my main form of exercise. Just because I just turn into this really tall, kind of doughy looking person after a while if I don't. So, yeah. I'm trying to think what else is going on. Improv, doing improv things. This is my first weekend, coincidentally, that I'm not going to I.O. since New Year's. So it's been 4 months. I had one weekend off where I was in Seattle for the weekend. So this weekend, if it's between you and I was pretty lazy. I binge-watched a bunch of Leftovers yesterday on HBO. And then,
the show Leftovers? Or
yeah,
like
the episode? Show. The show Leftovers, yep.
What's that about?
It is... it's about a rapture type event happening where 2% of the world's population disappears. And then it's how people deal with loss is essentially the gist of the show. So it explores all the different ways that people can explores a variety of ways in which people can deal with loss in their lives, both positively and negatively. There's a lot of nihilistic kind of things, but there's also people who are just trying to get on with their lives. So it's an interesting exploration with this weird component of people just disappearing. So you feel like there's a quasi sci-fi thing hovering out there that may or may not happen. So
they all disappeared at once?
Yep. Just at the same moment, they all went blink, and 2% of the population approximately went bye-bye.
Huh.
Including unborn, it's intimated. Yeah.
So people's testicles shrink by 2%?
There was, I think the show actually opened a can here. It makes me want to talk about it with other people watch the show. But there's a person getting a sonogram when the event occurs. And they don't actually show it going, but there is a reaction shot of the person looking back at their sonogram and being slightly quizzical. So you're led to believe that the unborn fetus has disappeared. So I think that opens up a whole can of worms of discussion that may not be... We'll just leave that one alone.
If a quiz makes you appear quizzical,
yep.
What does a test make you appear?
I mean, I feel like you want me to say testicle.
Thank you.
If,
leftovers.
Well, yeah.
I'll have to check that out. You would recommend it?
I'm going to hesitantly recommend it, but I've been told by more than one person that the first season is kind of by far the worst season of the three.
There's three?
Okay. Yeah, there's three seasons. So I've been told by more than one person to get through the first season. The second season's supposed to be pretty good, and then the third season's supposed to be phenomenal.
Oh, so I'm is it only three total?
Yep. The show just ended its run, if I'm not mistaken. So I watched a whole bunch of that yesterday, and I listened to about 3.5 records. I got a coffee. I'm just talking about my day yesterday. And
you just sit and listen to the music straight through?
Yeah, actually, I will. That's the cool part about vinyl is it kind of forces you to listen to the music. So I will put a record on, and I will let it play all the way through and flip it over and listen to the whole other side. So you start to become a little more discriminate when choosing your music.
So you just sit there on the couch or the chair and
put my headphones on yesterday through. And yeah, I was perusing some different articles on my screen device and just listening to music, and every now and then I just kick my head back and close the eyes for a little bit, and yeah, it was a lazy day in a chair with music in my ears. Beautiful, sweet, sweet music.
Yeah, it definitely makes you pay more attention to the lyrical quality of the music.
Yeah, sometimes. As opposed
to listening to like pop music, where if you actually listen to what they're saying, it's just hot garbage.
Well, you can get that in any medium of music. There's a lot of pop albums out there. I mean, I've got Frampton Comes Alive. That was a big pop album. Oh, you mean current pop?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's a fair point. The next segment is called Guess My Number. Well, I am thinking of a number that is greater than or equal to 1 and less than or equal to 1 million. Mm-hmm. You get one chance to guess what it is. And I'm thinking of the number and projecting it towards you.
667,000.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
Damn it. I was feeling a 6 and a 7.
No comment. This next segment is called Improvise and Add 4... ... which is the Heller ellipsis. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Josh is innovating a new form of ellipsis that uses only 2 periods instead of 3 to save on time and ink and...
Because it implies essentially the same thing.
Yes. Just trying to make things more efficient, less wasteful. So if you could please improvise a short audio ad like you might hear on the radio for Rapid Delivery Improv.
Sitting around? Wondering what life has in store for you? Well, step right up and grab life by the jowls. Because Rapid Delivery Improv is what... is going to be the fix for your life. Short, quick, fast, fun, all over the place. And Will Oltman. That's right, folks. Rapid Delivery Improv. It's the ticket when you need your ticket stamped.
Thank you. This next segment is called Affirmation. So, Brandon, you are hilarious. I really appreciate your professionalism as a comedian and your constant drive for self-improvement. I think those are very admirable things. And thank you for being a part of the comedy community in Grand Rapids.
Oh, thanks, Chris. That was really nice of you to say.
The next segment is called Member. It is a nostalgia segment. So what is something that you remember fondly from your childhood?
Fondly from my childhood. I remember climbing a beech tree one time. We had a few beech trees by where I lived. And beech trees are really good climbing trees for those people out there who like to climb trees. Anyway, I remember climbing up in this beech tree, and you could keep climbing all the way almost to the top. And because I was young enough, I didn't weigh too much. So I was able to be up all the way in the top of this great beech tree in a forest. And then a breeze came along and lightly swayed the trees. And I felt like I was floating on an ocean of trees.
Wow. Thank you. Next segment is called Looking Forward. What is something that you are most looking forward to in the future?
I am looking forward to going and sitting on a beach next week, which is going to be a lot of fun. But if we're speaking more to what we've been talking about today, I am looking forward to just collaborating with some of the great comedic and improvisational minds in this community. I try to get with a number of them and just see what happens. It's a lot of fun to just be weird and kind of go down the rabbit hole with some really talented people in town.
Nice. This next segment is called Plug Your Social Media in Upcoming Events.
Oh, man. Social media. Yeah, I'm still kind of infantile to that. I would say that I am on Facebook, and if you want to find me on there, you can, you know, I guess friend request me, although I am kind of a snob with friend requests, so if you're some rando, I may not accept your friend request, but I guess there's a following component that you can do in Facebook now too, right? Isn't there a following?
Oh, I don't know.
I think you can follow on Facebook.
Without being friends?
Without being friends.
Just to see their public...
Yeah, and that may actually be self-defeating because I don't have a ton of public posts, so maybe not that. I do have a Twitter presence. I think it's at Brandon Holstein. The only reason I say I think is because my Twitter presence is more of a placeholder. In case Twitter ever blows up, I have a handle. I think that ship has sailed, so you can find me on there, but I don't know how much good it'll do you. As far as things that I'm involved in coming up... I am going to be performing on Monday, May 15th at Calm. I will be involved in the Will Chuckle, a sketch comedy show that is going on. It's about a half hour-ish show that Will Oltman is producing and directing. So I will be one of the actors involved with that. If I've said this to others, but if you laugh half as much as we are in our rehearsals, you're going to be really, really well entertained. Will has done a great job writing here. There's some great roles for all kinds of people, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Other than that, I have an event coming up on the 22nd where I'll be with the Dark, and we are going to be performing at Com also at Dog Story Theater. I think that'll be about a 20 or so minute set. So Will Chuckle has... an event page on Facebook, so go ahead and look at that. And with the Dark, I'm part of that. We have a presence on Facebook and Twitter, so just search for us. It's all one word on Twitter. I think it's at With the Dark on Twitter, and we have a page out there in Facebook land. So, yeah, you can find us. Google's great. Your friend.
Looking forward to those two shows.
I also am looking forward to those.
And the final segment, last but not least.
Oh, man.
It's called Just the Tip. So if you could please offer just one tip to other aspiring comedians.
Whatever you do in a scene with another person, try to find a way to make that person that you're performing with the best version of whatever they're trying to do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here this afternoon, Brandon. It's been a pleasure.
It has been a distinct pleasure of mine. Thank you for doing all that you do, Chris.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
Especially Josh, my booking agent or booking manager. I think booking manager, because a booking agent would be the talent's representation, I think. I'm still working on vocabulary.
Yeah, you might want to get that figured out, because union is kind of sticky about that stuff, and then you might have to pay him differently.
If he unionizes, I will fire him so fast.
Oh, geez, that would be not great, Bob.
This is Trump's America, so...
I'm over here just nodding politely.
He's nodding very politely. So thanks, Josh, and everyone else. We'll be back again next week with an all-new episode of The Grand Cast. Nutter butters, undercovers, watch me suffer while you buffer, while you stutter. I'm discovering your mother, get some blubber. Love it in the crock pot, I'm in a top-notch hot spot. Chopping every dude that I see with a tough knot. I'm unhinged. My gossip is the juiciest. I'm unstable, about to blow up in the spot like Vesuvius. With dubious intentions and deadline extensions, spaced out, pay attention when my name gets mentioned.